Bill Cashman giving a little report here from Palo Alto, California. We're out at Diamond's Place, and the date is the 16th of October, 1970. And it's a meeting of the Alumni Association of the branch of San Francisco and ways about. And I don't know, let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The meeting is starting, and Hector Harrison, who is president of this branch of the Alumni Association, will make a few remarks and start the meeting of this
branch. May I have your attention, please? It's not working well. Supposed to be on. Is that better? Is that good? We want to thank you all for being here tonight. It's wonderful to see so many people here. And looking back a few years ago when things did look a little dismal, but tonight they look great. And we're not going to be long tonight. We're going to cut this business meeting short. But I do want to introduce the guests here. You all know Marion Hall, our very efficient secretary. Marion Martin now, of course. Mr. Martin, my wife, Helen Harrison. Mr. Kennedy. Betty. Clark. I remember. Bill Cashin.
How do you do?
Gene Kennedy. Lou Ann Boswell. John Boswell. The last meeting we had together, of course, was at the Turtle Rock Ranch. And I thought it was great. We had a lot of fun. And a goodly crowd showed up, as Dan McGrew used to say, but we also, through your generosity, were able to send $34.63 to the Alumni Fund in memorial for Helen McDonald Strager Scholarship Fund. I think it was great we could do that. And I hope each year we can do something of that nature. Now, since we haven't had a formal meeting for so long, it's sort of irrelevant to ask for the minutes of the last meeting. But I will ask if Marion has anything to say at this time.
She should know better.
I knew she'd make it. What kind of notices, ma'am?
Well, there were at least five very interesting comments that came back on these postcards, and if you want me to, I'll read them now.
I wish you would, please.
John Wynn was the second president of this group many years ago, and his wife says, "We are sorry to miss visiting with University of Alaska Group on October 16th. We're going hunting in Colorado tomorrow. John is leaving for Iran in December. I'm going too, where he will be engaged in agricultural development, nursery, and orchards for the next 3 to 5 years. We hope to see you at the next meeting when we come home." Isn't that interesting?
Wonderful, wonderful.
That was John and Betty Wynn. Betty, at one time when John was there, I think they were a vintage around 38, 39. She was secretary to Dr. Bunnell. Bill Atchison says, "We'll be in New York City on the date. Sorry, please give personal regards to Betty." Mrs. John Schuster just returned from 3 months work and play in Tomsina, Alaska. John is still up there working. Stopped by the university and its gorgeous new buildings all over the place. Took movies, too.
Is he still playing up there?
Well, his wife's home, so maybe he is.
Thank you.
I'm sure most of you knew Collins. And she writes, "Dear friends, I deeply regret my physical inability to join you on the 16th. There are so many of you I would enjoy a visit with. Have a fine time in true Alaskan fashion." I believe she's on our mailing list. If not, I have her address here if any of you want to drop her a card. Eunice Collins, they were the director of the dining room, weren't they? Well, she lives in Soquel. Bill, does she live near you, Bill Barnes? Or Bill? Yeah. Well, she lives on North Main. Her address is here if it isn't on the mailing list. And somebody, oh, Ruth Grimm, bless her heart, she's here tonight, but she informed me that Betty married John Clark, so she's now Betty Clark. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion. Does the treasurer have a report tonight?
Just that we are not out of money.
Great! That's a first step for a treasurer.
We may have to tap a hat later on.
Good idea. I'm leaving early.
Luann, I'm going to give you, to go into the records, the letter which Betty wrote to me acknowledging the check which we sent for the scholarship fund with a receipt. And I think they should be kept in the treasurer's records. New year coming up, and it's time to vote for a new slate of officers. Marianne McCall is the chair of the nomination committee, has some suggestions regarding that situation. Marianne? Marianne?
We've set up a committee for the nominations, and for president, Gene Kennedy. For Vice President, Marion Martin. For Secretary, Luann Boswell. And for Treasurer, John Smathers.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We're going to do it. You've heard the nominations. Are there any comments? We have some comments.
I really feel that I can't do it this year. I have a couple ideas. I think Dr. Smathers would be a lovely president.
We'd like them to handle our money first. See how he works out of that job. No, that's just kidding, of course.
No, I've got to get up.
Please.
I really would be very happy to be secretary, but I graduated from the University of Washington. This treasurer bit, I got hooked into that by Louie because last year he came around to the table I was eating right after I'd eaten, and he said, "How are you at handling the family budget?" And I said, "Oh, terrific," because I wouldn't admit anything else. And so I found out I was treasurer in a few minutes. Anyway, I have a wonderful suggestion. I really think that somebody that knows more of the people from Alaska should be secretary, because with the corresponding and all, I think they would know who they're corresponding with there. And I would suggest Lolly and Alan be secretary.
Yay! My acclamation. By acclamation.
Be better to hold that particular subject in abeyance until after we eat. Then we'll pick it up before we have carry on with our program. Is that satisfactory to everybody?
We're hungry.
Because I want to thank Mary Ann for the hard work she did. You tried, really, Mary. Now, we all know, of course, that since Betty was here last, she's deserted us. And we're all sorry, and very sorry, that John Clark could not be with her and with us. And I'm sure she feels the same way.
Good luck, Betty. Good luck.
And I also want to say personally how happy I am, and I think fortunate we all are, to have Bill Cashin with us today. Good night.
Thank you very much.
We'll hear much more from him later. And I think that concludes the business end of this at this time. And we'll go on with the refreshments and the food.
Amen.
Now, what was his story?
But he never did go to the university. He won a scholarship, $1,000 or so.
Yeah. Whose
scholarship was that, John?
It was the young
lass
that speaks.
That's right. I remember. Uh-huh.
Jesse Dale was something or other with it. I don't know. But they just said, turn in your check. So, you know, after 2 years, I did.
After all that work.
Help me. He's going to take the place of the girl.
Now, I'm going to. Something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought we could come from the
home.
It's really easy, I think. I know. Everybody does. But, I'm not going to sit down and write notes, okay? We're going to have a lot of talk about this.
Louder, they say. Betty Clark would like to say a few words at this time.
I hope he gives me a chance. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Very ineffective.
We can hear you.
You can hear me because you're right next to me. You bet you can.
Well, sure.
All right. You don't need it. Okay. Anyhow, I hope he gives me a chance to say a few more words, you know. Typical woman, I like to talk. But really, what I want to do now is cut this beautiful cake. I don't want to cut it, but I can't take it back with me. So I want to cut it and share it with you. And Bill Cashin has agreed to be a stand-in for my husband.
For how long?
Here for how long, Billy?
When does this stop?
I didn't ask him. How long? How long, Bill?
Only this week.
Okay. Oh. Well, that's better than I expected. I thought just for cutting the cake. Thanks, Bill. Anyhow, I'm sorry that John can't be here with me, but you know, I acquired an 11-year-old daughter along with a husband. Well, I acquired more than that. I acquired 5 more kids, but they're grown. The 11-year-old is home. And so he had to stay home and babysit and couldn't come home. And somebody's got to take care of the kids, you know. And so he had to stay home and take care of the kids. Plus, being a typical woman, I wanted some renovations made in our house. And we're redoing the bedroom and the bathroom. And as he complains all the time, but anyhow, he's overseeing that and taking care of our daughter. So Bill's going to help me, and I want you to share the cake with me. It's beautiful, and thank all of you for it.
Oh, I'll be glad to assist. It's
been a long time since I've done anything like that.
26 years since I cut my last wedding cake.
How long, Bill?
Just 26.
Where's the knife?
But no knife?
No knife. It's taking.
But no pictures? No pictures? What kind of a deal is this?
Hey, Lily.
Will that help to start?
It'll help, yeah. Now, you're supposed to hold the knife, and what am I supposed to stand?
You hold the knife.
Oh, along with you.
Good,
boy, wait till my wife sees this.
Hold your hand up.
This will go. The next issue of the next issue of the alumnus.
This
is a cover picture. Oh, you did fine.
I don't think it's
think my wife will be suspicious.
Right away.
Yeah, but I didn't tell her I was cutting a wedding cake tonight. Well done.
You girls can serve it.
The Aleutian Islands sort of went awry there.
They sure did. I got to take off these efforts. How am I going to do that?
Bill, you were superb.
Ah, yeah.
Well, we carry these things. Don't get the job as being marked for the university without a few of these finer things in life.
You've got to be sure and take a polar bear and a couple of
Eskimos. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the piece of cake with it. It's like
fine.
This.
That whole section.
That little section.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
While we're trying unsuccessfully to get a volunteer for the presidency of our organization, it's unhorrible, and a treasurer, let's each one rise and tell who they are, quickly introduce themselves, so we go around the circle. Now, in the meantime, will somebody
please volunteer for these two jobs? Treasurer, my goodness, nobody wants it. Well, shall we start at this table down here and start to come around? Please rise and introduce yourself.
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to take the tape recorder, so I'll get the names right here, see? So I'll go around the table, and if you'll tell us your name, why we'll... is this all right, Hector?
It's fine.
All right.
Marianne McCall.
Thor Lawrenson.
Paula Nordby.
Mark McCall.
Lisa Sandvik.
Kurt Sandvik. George McCall.
Please stand and you'll give your name.
But everybody else can hear.
Speak loud. I'll tune it down.
Okay. Ruth Berglund Brim.
Reg Brim.
Well, I can.
Gene Garrison.
Sit down, Cash.
Marge Burns.
Ted Matthews.
Loud.
Alberta Matthews.
Loud.
What we need is more of a dictator.
Yeah.
Bill Burns from Salinas.
Speak so they can hear you. Recording.
I'm Marianne McCall, and I was originally from Nenana, and I graduated from the University of Alaska in 1950.
Stand up.
I'm Thor Lawrenson. I'm a native Alaskan. I was raised in Unga, which is a small town off the coast of the Alaska Peninsula. I was a student of, first of all, John McCall and Dean Beislein, and later on, Dr. McCurdy. And I graduated from the University of Alaska in 58.
Thank you.
I'm Paula Nordby. I was raised in Fairbanks and attended the university for 2 years, finished my education in Virginia and then in Berkeley.
And I'm Mark McCall. I'm son of Marianne McCall.
Son of Marianne McCall. You talk to them out there.
I'm Lisa Sandvik, Marianne McCall's daughter-in-law.
I'm Kurt Sandvik, Marianne McCall's son.
I'm George McCall, Marianne McCall's son.
Start over again.
Come on, Ruth, stand up.
Ruth?
McDonald, I was looking for somebody behind the name McDonald.
I'm Ruth Berglund Graham, and I attended the university in 46 and 47, and have been living in Fairbanks for 20 years and out here now for many years. My mom was Mary Miller Bergman, and my father was Clarence Bergman, and they both attended the University of Alaska. My brother is an oil broker in Fairbanks, but I don't hear from him often.
You're busy.
You want to stand up?
No, go away.
You might introduce your husband.
Oh, this is my husband, Randy Graham, from Texas. And these are our two guests tonight, Margaret and Jean Garrison. She's formerly Margaret Barron from Fairbanks.
You should talk to my husband, not me.
Yeah, there you go.
Talk to them.
Like I said to some of my peer group, there's only a few of us old goats left. I'm Bill Burns, and I finished university in 1932, and I was born and reared in Fairbanks. Left there in 1940, and returned this fall in September for the first time in 30 years. I'd like to introduce my wife, Marjorie.
Stand up, Marjorie.
Okay.
And we hope to get the board.
Well, I'm Ted Matthews, graduate in 38. Been in Alaska about 35 years, temporarily on the Alaska or the California Peninsula. And this is Alberta. You probably know her better than I do.
I especially thought we are around the process of husband and we could with city tonight. Her husband was superintendent on the road commission when we were growing up in Alaska. And Mrs. Huddleston is 89 years old, and she came to the dinner tonight, and she's real spry. Stand up, Ann.
I'd like to say something about my husband, a little girl nicknamed him Bob Huddleston. And to the day he died, he was called Bob Huddleston of Alaska. He was known all over as superintendent of the Alaska Road Commission. Maybe some of you know him. I don't know. The road, you can't find his road anymore, it's all built.
Who didn't work for
him? I'm just the husband of Betty, a guest. However, I was up on the Alcan Highway, so I know what the North Country is like a little bit.
I'm Ed Avaton. I'm from Fairbanks. That's home. And I was raised there about 5 years. And I have a wife here that's from California, and I came down, and she sort of lassoed me here. So here we are. We're down here, and my heart is always back there in Alaska. And once I say, when I see these people from Alaska, I say they're all my old Malamute friends. You know, Eskimo and Malamute friends that come down and visit me. So I'm just part of Alaska.
I'm Bernie Reek. I lived in Alaska from 37 through 45. Graduated from the university in 41. Went there from 37 through 41. Graduated with a B.S. in mining engineering. I live in California at the present time. Love it here, but plan on going back up to Alaska this June, isn't it, honey?
Well, I think
so. Yeah, that's what she tells me anyway. We're going up to June, up to Alaska in June for our 30th.
May is it? Well,
well, she'll get the time right, but we're going up there for the 30th reunion. We enjoyed it very much. We don't get to these meetings very often. We certainly enjoy them very much. We owned a home for a while in Fairbanks, and our daughter was born in Fairbanks and thoroughly enjoyed it up there.
And I'm your wife.
Oh, yes. I have my wife here. She keeps reminding me.
Want to say hello?
Wife Winifred.
Yes, I'm Win, and I belong to him.
Come on. Speak up, girl.
I'm Lillian Allen. I was born in Valdez and grew up there. I didn't attend the university. But I have to get this in. My brother is the mayor of Fairbanks. Yeah. I mean, of Anchorage. Okay. was married to a girl from Fairbanks. I guess I was thinking of
you
Fairbanks.
You blew that one real good.
Some of you probably went to school with the Egan girls, Mary Egan and Pat Egan and Muggs. And so he was just reelected last week.
Hooray.
Congratulations.
My wife is the speaker in our family. The speaker of the house, rise.
My name is Joe Olson, and I was born and raised in Cordova, Alaska, and I went to the University of Alaska. But do I have to tell the years? Now, I just wanted to mention that I was president of the U of A alumni about 4 years ago, and I have a couple of very good suggestions for the president this year. I think Bill Burns would be excellent.
Oh, Joe, you
so I'll make those motions. And I'd also like to introduce my daughters, Carol and Veronica Smith, and their potential university students. And my husband, I know you've all met, Ormond Smith.
Say a word.
I don't have much to say. The reason I'm with her is because Beislein was my roommate during the war. And Beislein got two horses out at Fort Richardson. I don't know where he got them. And I had three girlfriends in Anchorage, and he had four, and she was one of them. So he says, let's go to Anchorage. So we get on these horses, and I hadn't been on a horse for about 10 years. But anyway, we got in a big argument about which girls we were going to visit, and he went out. So I was going to give her some horseback lessons. By the time I got back to the fort, I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. And she didn't know what had happened to me, you see. But anyway, that's what happened. So it's Beislein's fault that I'm here.
Well put.
I'm Barbara Napstead Hancock from Cordova, Alaska, fishing village on Prince William Sound. And I didn't attend the University of Alaska, but I saw it and went all over the grounds of it with Woody Johansson when I was up there 4 years ago. And I live in Campbell, California. And I'd like to introduce my dear friend and escort, Ed Ashby.
How do you do?
Are you in Alaska, Ed?
No, I'm just
Well, I'm Mark Daly. Stepped out for the moment. Member of Class 2 of the University of Alaska from the beginning, and we now have a daughter at College Alaska who is one of the curators at the museum there, so we have maintained our ties and been back a great many times since. This is the first year in 8 years that I haven't been to Alaska yet, but I hope to get there this year and may do it yet.
Miller. I graduated in 1960 with a BSEE, and we live here in Los Altos now. We've been out of, the last time we were in Alaska was 8 years ago. This is my wife, Susan.
Susan Miller. Hi,
Susan. John Janowski. I was in Alaska in 61 and 62 in the armed forces, and I graduated in 62 through what was then known as Operation Bootstrap, and we parted company that summer, and I came to San Francisco, and I've lived here ever since. My feelings about Fairbanks is that, well, once you've unfrozen one car door, you've unfrozen them all.
Would you like to say a word?
Oh, no, I just come along with him.
Just give him a little. Will you say a word?
Well, I'm Catherine Leonard, and my husband, Bob, is a 1961 graduate of the University of Alaska, but he's away on a business trip, so I just came anyway. And we have kept some ties in Alaska. My brother lives in Anchorage. And someday we'd like to go back on a trip. We thought maybe we'd go this year, but it didn't work out. Maybe next year.
I'm Katrina Smathers. I went to the university in 52, 53, and I haven't been back since 54, which I'd like to do sometime, to go back.
In case you don't recognize her, she's the daughter of Terrace Moore, our second president of the university.
I'm John Smathers. I
was in Fairbanks in the early 1950s and met my wife there. We both are rather nostalgic about Alaska and we're hoping that some summer we can go back for an extended trip.
Make them tell you what they did on their trip to Europe, where they went. I think we heard about it last winter, but I think people here would be very interested.
What'd you tell them?
Oh, any of you remember Otto Geist, who gave you these big old nuggets years ago? When we were in Europe last summer in 69, we went to the little town in Bavaria outside Munich, which is his hometown, where, as you know from Charles Kime's book, those of you who've seen it, he returned and died and was buried, and we hunted up his gravestone and saw the University of Alaska written in German on the gravestone in a little town in Bavaria. Oh.
Thanks, Katrina.
I met Freemile. We were in Alaska from 60 to 66 at the Geophysical Institute working on some graduate degrees. And see, Rita was as much of a student as I was, I think, in Ron Snungatuck's silver classes and let's see, what else?
Actually, Alaska natives. I graduated from the University of Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Neighbors, sorry. Good to see you.
I'm Mike Stepovich, and that might take some explaining, but anyway.
It does, too.
I have a brother named Mike Stepovich who lives up in Fairbanks. I was born in Fairbanks, and I never went to university, but I can remember in 1935 or about, we take a ride with a family around the Farmer's Loop, and I'd say, along with my brothers and sisters, let's go up there, you know, where those buildings were. And that was university. I guess there were a couple of buildings there. I think the museum was there at that time, too. 35? Maybe not.
Yeah, it was.
But they sure had good gooseberries and blueberries and, yeah, and cranberries up there. And so that's why we'd want to go up there. But it's sure nice to be here. I live in Saratoga now. And my wife here was born in Florida and raised in Hawaiian Islands and couldn't take her to Alaska, so we stayed down here. But she did get to Juneau, and she cleaned every one of the seven Johns in the governor's mansion. So she has a distinction.
Would you like to say a few words, sir?
Please.
Mrs. Stepovich from Fairbanks in California.
Fairbanks in Saratoga. I can say this. I lived 15 years in Alaska and 28 years in Saratoga. And in 28 years, I made 20 trips in Alaska. If I can't afford it to make those trips, I couldn't stand it, stay in California.
Thank you.
Okay, my name's Colin Mick. I'm from Palmer. Let's see, I was at the university from 1958 till 1963, and then was working at the university through 1963 and 1966 to 1967. And my wife, Ula, was from Germany originally, but was at the university one semester in 1966.
I'm Dennis Rogers. I went to the university from 62 to 66 and been down here in California ever since. Well, all those years. I'm a native Californian, one of the few ones here, I think. And this is my wife, Rena, from Whitehorse.
I went up there from Whitehorse, and I went there for 3 years and graduated down here, but it was a nice 3 years.
All right, let's get your names and verses.
Let's get it over with. Well, I'm Marion Hall Martin, and I went to Fairbanks in 1935 with my brother Bob. We had a Duane Hall and a Gladys Hall in that freshman class. Bill Burns' youngest brother Bob was in the class. I know so many of you from being in school together at that time. My brother and I were the only two Halls related, but we had the other two in the class. And we weren't any relation to the Dixie Hall gang in town. We went up because we'd met Slim Williams at the World's Fair in Chicago. And he had such funny, interesting stories to tell about his seven wives in Alaska and how he got rid of some of them. Some just naturally passed on and the rest he tied to a fish wheel.
was an old Indian custom. So. Then I was in New York at one time and being interviewed on a Grand Central Station radio show, and I told them all I was a gold digger from Alaska.
Not after that.
No.
My only connection is through Hector. I'm not old.
Introduce yourself, Phil.
I'm Philip Kennedy.
Who are you?
You know I am.
Watch it. You've got goo all over the table. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm afraid everybody knows me, too. I've been around so long. Gene Kennedy. No, we'll let the president have it.
Kennedy.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows
Hector. Hector Harrison here.
And we've heard from you, John.
I'm John Boswell. I'm married to the treasurer, Lou Ann Boswell.
I guess General Hershey said if they won't volunteer, draft. So here we are. President. Paul Larison, please stand.
Good man.
Thank you. Vice President, please stand. Vice President, Marion Martin. Please don't. Can I defend myself? The Secretary, Lillian Allen. The Treasurer, Mike Miller. You have heard the nomination. Will they be accepted with some?
It isn't too difficult a job. The Secretary does all the work.
I just can't imagine what would have happened had I come to the last meeting.
Yeah. You would have been here first. Is this, if this speech is your approval, will somebody please make a motion to accept the nomination? Second? Roll vote?
Aye.
There's a vote. Thank you for volunteering. Now, as you know, we got to help Mike out of a new job because we hardly have enough money to buy postage stamps, and they're going up. So we're going to have to pass the hat. And please put something in, no matter how little it is. If it doesn't clink when it goes in, all the better. And I'd like to ask the present treasurer to please assume that responsibility. I'd like to ask the secretary a question. I really should wait till that is finished, because I understand this is the night to collect dues. Is that correct?
Yes, and in effect, it's the dues are the annual dollar that each of us that come gets taxed on. So
well, shall we consider that the dues?
Have in years past had our names put down in the book, at least written beside it, so that you see there's probably 50 people, 25, maybe 30 or 35 so-called alumni, but at least family here, and we've each put in a dollar or two as it's gone around.
Well, I have a list of the members here, which can be used by the treasurer. And she would like to check these names off. Would
everybody
that be
doesn't put any money in, raise your hand.
That's a good word.
I'll just put it on your honor.
True democracy. All right. We will just continue the names and thank you all for your generosity. Well, may we carry on, please? May we carry on? I think that, unless there's any further business before the House, I think that will complete the business end of our meeting. And we're very fortunate to have with us tonight, once again, Betty Clark. And without any further words, I give you Betty.
First, I'd like to personally thank all your officers from the past year for the job they've done. Hopefully that you will add your thanks to it, because I think they've done a good job. Thank you, Hector, Luann. Hector said we've got a projector for movies, we've got a projector for slides. Do you have any? I said, no, I don't have either. But I did bring Bill Cashin with me. And who needs slides or a movie if you've got Bill Cashin? Really, he fits in. So he's really going to be your program tonight, but I'd like to say just a few words to you. To say, one, thank you for having me. It's great to see all of you in the communication this year. Great to see Colin Mick here. Hope you come again, Colin. Colin and I sort of work together, and I've missed him. It really is heavy carrying that. You might be interested in two new buildings that we have going on campus today. We have a new campus activity center, which is really exciting and tremendous. I would be willing to say that when this campus activity center is completed, that it will truly be the outstanding campus community center in the nation, in the United States. This is true. It's different, and it's big, and it's the plan is good. And you wait and see. I'll bet you'll see a lot of publicity about it. It's very outstanding. We also have a new 8-floor classroom and office building that's going up right in front, for those of you who've been back there in recent years, right in front of Constitution Hall. There are 2 floors below the ground, 6 floors above. Now, it's a little bit behind schedule. Supposedly, it was going to be done next fall or later on the winter, but I don't think it will be. Campus Activity Center, we expect to get in it, hopefully, in September or October.
Where is it?
Right behind Constitution Hall. So we're surrounded. We got mud, noise. Ask me. I can tell you. Oh, boy, we've got it. We have a new bond issue coming up on November the 3rd. $29.7 million. The biggest one that we've ever tried to get across. And we're sweating it out right now. Hopefully we get it across. If we do, one of the things that's included in it is new paving streets and parking lots on campus. Like you, even though we have a vast territory, we have a parking problem on the campus. And the plans, I went to the Board of Regents meeting yesterday, part of it, and they were discussing, they were giving a report to the building committee, and supposedly that one of the plans is a high-rise parking building below the hill. For some of you who were there when they had the trailer camp, remember, below the hill there, well, it's in that location, and that's where it would be. It's a parking building, a high-rise type. So we need it, and actually, when you think about it, it's very practical up for up there. Right now, we have plug-ins that don't work half the time. If they do, somebody steals the fuse. So then it doesn't work. And if we park down below the hill and somebody swipes a fuse or the darn thing doesn't work, you know, you're in trouble if you're there all day. For those of you who have lived in that country and it gets 50, 60 below and you go out to work at 7, 8, 9 and don't go home until 5 or 6 o'clock, if you don't either go down there and start your car or it's plugged into something, you just don't get home unless you get somebody to give you a
Betty start. Betty told me it didn't get 60 below.
Occasionally it does. Yeah. Sorry to say it does.
I feel better about
it. You know, the first time I came down to these meetings, which was 8 years ago, I came down to San Diego to a meeting and it snowed in San Diego. They told me not to come back. Unless, if I was going to bring that kind of weather. So far, I've been lucky. But one of these times, I come back in. Well, we have a bus that runs all the time. But, and you can take the bus, yes. However, if you... That's right. Well, if you remember, and that you never could depend on that old bus, you might end up in the snowbank any time. So you're dressed for it, right, to travel. But we do have a good bus. We do have a good bus. Longer, as Liz would remember, we no longer have the railroad trolley, but we do have a good bus out there. But anyhow, without more ado, rather than keep you, I'll turn you over to let Bill Cash and give you a few words and ask you a few questions. He's great. As I said before, he keeps insisting that when we're together that I don't talk, I listen and let him talk. Bill?
May I interrupt here, please, Bill?
Yeah. I'm used to it. No.
Thank you, Betty, very much for being with us again and for the latest information on Alaska. So we have something we'd like to have you take back. There's a little gift from this club for you and your loving husband.
Oh,
thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, Bill.
Well, as I said before, unaccustomed as I am to this public speaking, if you're surprised to see me, I'm kind of surprised to be here, too. Because, you know, it's last May, I was going about my usual affairs of, I guess helping Betty conduct the alumni banquet and that sort of thing, when the regents met and decided that I should start writing the history of the university. And it took me a little bit by surprise, but it was an assignment, of course, that I cherished very much. And so they said, well, the president phoned me up one night while the regents were meeting. He said, Bill, the regents are meeting and we've been talking about you. And, oh boy, I said, what's up now? You're going to let me go at this late hour? No, I've got a special job for you. I want you to write the history of the university, biography of Dr. Bunnell, up through the first administration. And we'll relieve you of your classes, and we're going to give you a little raise in pay and put you on a 12-month basis. We'll give you a secretary and a little travel budget. Well, with a deal like that, I couldn't refuse. So this is part of the travel budget. I budgeted myself to travel down to California, at least. I really wanted to come maybe in January, where I'd appreciate it a little more. But Betty had these meetings scheduled here for this time of year, so I decided her company was worth it.
Yeah, don't forget, I told you what to put in the budget.
I don't think she budgeted enough. Well, anyway, if you've read the last issue of the Alumnus and read Cashin's Corner and the little addenda, if you have any reminiscences that you'd like to forward to me, I'll be glad to get them. I don't promise to publish them, but I'll enjoy reading them anyway. And if I censor them up a little bit, you know, and clean them up a little, I may possibly quote from them in my book. Only when necessary. Well, that's about all I had to say. I wasn't, except that I see Marion here, Marion Hall Martin. And I don't think she knows this story, but the first time I met Marion was quite an occasion. And it might be even the topic of a Cashin's Corner sometime. I hadn't thought about it till I saw her. So let me tell you the story about how I first met Mary. I'd been at the college for 2 years helping Dr. Bunnell run the place. I was drove his car and edited his newspaper and one thing or other. And I'd been there 2 years, and I was getting a little homesick in my hometown in Douglas. So he said, Bill, you haven't been home for the last year or two. I said, no, I haven't been home. He said, how would you like to go home maybe for a couple weeks in August? So I thought it was going to be a paid vacation or something. I said, oh, I'd like that, fine. And he said, well, if you went down maybe the middle of August to Valdez, you could catch a truck pretty cheap, go down to Juneau and spend a couple weeks and come back and
be back by the 25th or so of August, in time to put out the September issue of the Collegian. Maybe you could work it out. And I said, I'll go to work on it. So I did. And I went over the highway to Valdez, and I got down there, and of course the boat was pretty full. And by the time the Valdez passengers got aboard, I think they gave us a choice. We could either go steerage, or I think the bridal suite was open. And the fare was quite a differential there, so I took steerage. And it was pretty miserable, because it was just at the time when all the cannery workers, you know, were going outside, and the steerage was just full, and I was pretty hungry, and I thought, never again. Well, I spent 2 weeks in Juneau, and I went back to catch the boat again to go back to Valdez. And what was available for passage? Nothing. No statue, nothing. Steerage, you can go steerage. Well, I said, I came down steerage. I don't think I want to face that again. Oh, easy steerage this time. You know, you don't have the big crowd. You'll have the place to yourself down there practically. Now, if any of you travel steerage, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's those bunks way down in the front end of the old Alaska steamship. And the food was so bad I couldn't eat it. Well, anyway, I took steerage back. But I sneaked up on deck. There was a certain way that if you went through the galley, you could get up on deck, and if you dressed nicely, they couldn't distinguish you from the other passengers. And sure enough, it was the school teacher special, and aboard were all the college professors and some of the college students coming up to the college. And I ran into Tommy Campbell, and I ran into Dean Duckering, and quite a bunch of them were aboard. And I was hungrier than the dickens, because I hadn't been able to eat that steerage food at all. And I was back in the galley eating peanuts, and Tommy would invite me into his room, and I'd kind of grab a banana or an apple once in a while. But I was really hungry. And then out on deck, they introduced me to some of the new students, and they introduced me to Marion Hall, a new co-ed, you know, and introduced me as being the editor of the Collegian and one of the young men about the campus, you know, and this was Marion, and I was trying to make a good impression upon her, you know. And we engaged in conversation, and I was pointing the wonders of the scenery of the Alaska travel and telling her all about the place up north and everything. But I was really uncomfortable because I was awfully hungry. We'd been out now a day and a half, and I had no food yet. And just about that time, why, this fella comes around with that little ding, ding, ding. You remember how they used to ring that little bell? First call for lunch, first call for lunch. Oh, boy, this is sounded. And Marion said to me, let's take a brisk walk around the deck and work up an appetite for lunch. Oh, dear.
Finished talking yet. I really have. But I would like to thank all of you who have not seen this. Isn't it beautiful? There are a lot of advantages to getting married. There's one other. For years, I've been trying to decide which ear you put your flower in. You know, they say one ear, you say you're available, and the other that says you're taken. Now I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Thank you, buddy. There's one thing that strikes me so odd. I don't remember a school song to this day. I guess I know they have them.
Yep.
And do they have records on them?
I'll bring
the
record to you, yeah.
And I think we should have one at each meeting.
It's not easy to get.
Wouldn't it be nice if we had one and somebody could bring a portable phonograph or something like that?
If I could sing it
too. We'd be glad. Yeah.
Well, someone here have a record. I made a tape of it.
Do you?
Lily has it.
Well, wouldn't that be great if we could have it at each meeting? I think it would be. Well, unless there's any further business. Yes.
I have a treasurer's report now.
Oh, no, I beg your pardon.
we have more than this, a little bit more than this, because we'll have a little left over from tonight, but thanks to your most generous contributions, we have $68.50 just in the hat.
Wow, well, thank you.
Good. Is there anything else I've omitted? Well, I think that about concludes our party.
at least a formality.
Ladies, that they can take the flowers home if they like.
They may take the flowers
in which year?
In which year?
In which year?
So we'll have a motion to adjourn, please.
So move.
Second. And a vote. We shall adjourn.